Hey guys, Mr. Aaron here, and I wanted to talk to you about something very important as we get into Resurrection Sunday, and that's talking to your kids about Jesus, talking to them and sharing the gospel presentation, as well as talking to them about baptism. And so a lot of times when we talk to kids about baptism or making a profession of faith, one of the things that we do is we ask them open-ended questions. We stay away from yes-no questions and allow them more to be able to think through and define terms, as well as be able to tell us who they think Jesus is. What does it mean to put Jesus in charge of your life? Why do you need to put Jesus in charge of your life? And so typically, if I'm leading a child and they say, hey, I want to ask Jesus to be in charge of my life. And I'll say, hey, that's awesome. That is great. Tell me why you want to put Jesus in charge of your life. And so after they give me that answer, I will go to my next answer. Well, tell me about who Jesus is. And this helps us to understand how they understand who Jesus is. Jesus is God and God's Son. And what did he do? He came to earth and lived a perfect life that we couldn't live for ourselves and died a death that we deserve. Well, why did he have to do that? Well, there's sin in the world. Well, what is sin? Sin is anything we do that's our way instead of God's way. It separates us from God. And so we lead through open-ended questions and we say, well, why did we have to get forgiveness of our sins? Why did he have to die for it? Well, the Bible says that there's a punishment with sin, and the punishment is death. And so we have this punishment on our life because of our sin that separates us from God. And this punishment, it equals death. And someone has to pay this punishment. In the garden, we see at the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, this place where heaven and earth kind of overlapped in the garden. And we see Adam and Eve put there, and they're given only one rule. They can eat from any tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so what happened in the garden? And so this is kind of what we lead them through it after they've defined their terms, and then we just kind of present the gospel this way to them. So what happened in the garden? Well, they'll say the enemy of God or Satan or the devil tricked them. And we'll say, yes, the enemy, that God does have an enemy that wants to destroy everything. And he told them that if they ate from this tree, that they wouldn't die like God told them, but they would be like God. And they wanted to be like God. And because they wanted to be like God, they took the apple and ate of it. Now, they didn't want to be like God because they wanted to be the goodness of God. They wanted to be like God, to be in charge of their own lives. And so when that happened, when they ate from the apple, something entered the world. Can you tell me what that was? Sin. That's right. Sin is anything we choose that's our way instead of God's way. And sin it separates us from God. God is completely perfect and holy, and sin separates us from him. So what happened in that story? Well, when God comes back, they hide in the garden. They feel naked for the very first time. They'd always been naked, but this was the first time they felt naked. They felt unprotected by God. And so they hide. And as God's going through the garden, he finds them and asks them about what happened. And they blame each other. Well, God does something very specific to cover their nakedness, to cover their vulnerability, to cover their unsafeness. He takes a lamb and he kills it, and he uses the skin of the lamb to cover their nakedness. So even in that first story, we see that there is a price for sin, and that price equals death. And could they stay in that place where heaven and earth overlapped? No, they were kicked out of the garden, right? And the world became broken because sin entered it. And so one of the things that we see in that story is that there is a payment for sin, and there's a cost for sin, and that cost is death. we go into Romans and we look at the Roman road and we look at Romans 6:23, and then we look at Romans 3:23, and then we look at Romans 5:8, and then we go into John 3:16, and that kind of just gives us that leads them through the story and analyzing the story. So Romans 6:23 says this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." So in that verse right there, we learn that there is a cost for sin, and that is death. That everyone that has sin deserves a punishment of death. And so Romans 3:23 tells us who is the one who sinned, right? In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And what's the glory of God? Complete righteousness. Rightness with God is the glory of God. Perfection. We all have sinned and fallen short of the perfectness and holiness of God. And so because we all have sin in our lives, we all earned a cost on our life that is death. We've all earned this punishment. And so who has sinned? Everyone has sinned. Has your mom sinned? Yes. Has your dad sinned? Yes. Have I sinned? Yes. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so what's really crazy is if the story ended there, we would just be separated from God forever. In the Old Testament, God made a sacrificial system to help atone for sin, where people could take their best animals to the temple and sacrifice them. And it showed the ugliness of sin. And by sacrificing them, they would atone for their sins. And they would have to do this over and over and over. But Jesus put an end to this. In Romans 5:8, it says this. It says, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so Jesus comes and he lives this perfect life that we couldn't live, and he died a death that we deserve. And so he had no punishment. He should have had no punishment, no cost on his life of death. But he goes to the cross, right? So he hasn't fallen short of the glory of God. He has rightness with God. He has righteousness with God. And so what he did at the cross was he died on the cross, paying our death for us. He took his rightness and exchanged it for our wrongness, so that when God looks at us, he sees Jesus's rightness if we've asked him for forgiveness of our sins. And so John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." What does it mean to believe in Jesus? So when we know who Jesus is, we're able to ask him for forgiveness of our sins and ask him to be the master of our lives. When we know he is God and he is God's son, and that he came to earth, lived a perfect life, died, and came back to life, right? It's important that he came back to life because it shows his power over death. Now, he showed that throughout his life, throughout his ministry, as he resurrected several people. But in his death, burial, and resurrection, he shows that he had come to do what he said he would do, and then he came back to life and he had the power to actually do it. And so in that, we see that and celebrate that. And so when we've asked him for forgiveness of our sins and asked him to be in charge of our life, he allows us to be a part of his family. And so when he allows us to be a part of his family, he has given us forgiveness of our sins. He has changed his rightness for our wrongness, and we become a follower of Christ. And in that moment, we are saved. We have been rescued from sin, the payment of sin, from death and sin. And we are a part of his family. We are Christians in that moment. So what is baptism? So when we go into baptism with kids, I like to talk about Jesus' baptism. Because whom? What more of a perfect opportunity to look at than Jesus' own baptism? So John the Baptist was baptizing, telling everybody that they needed to repent. That means turn away from choosing their way and start choosing God's way, right? And so if sin is anything that we do that's our way instead of God's way, repenting is turning away from choosing our way and start choosing to follow God's way. And so he was telling them to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus comes up and says, I need you to baptize me. And John says, no, you should be baptizing me. But in that story, when John baptizes Jesus, we hear God the Father's voice from heaven. And he says, this is my son whom I am well pleased. We see the Holy Spirit descend like a dove on Jesus. And Jesus is at the center of it all. And in that moment, Jesus is telling everyone who he is. He got baptized to tell the story of who he is and what was about to happen. And so when we look at baptism in our own lives, we look at telling the story just the same as Jesus did. We look at telling the story of who Jesus is, what he did in our life, and what he can do in others' lives. Is baptism important? Absolutely. It's a command as we follow Jesus that we're baptized to tell his story, to put him on display. Because that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ, to go and tell. And this is one of the way, one of the first examples of doing that and following him in obedience is to tell that story through baptism. Does baptism save you? No, it does not save us, but it's incredibly important. And so we use that story language to help kids understand that baptism tells the story of something that already took place. So a child asks us about being baptized. We ask him why, and then we go through what baptism is and how it points to a story that already took place in your life. And it points back towards, so we work backwards into the gospel presentation. And then after after a child has moved through asking Jesus to be in charge of life and being baptized, we talk to him about the Lord's Supper and why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the reason we celebrate the Lord's Supper is because Jesus changed the story. During the Passover meal, Jesus had done three Passovers with his disciples. In the last one, he changes the story of the Passover. They're expecting to celebrate it like any other time, celebrating the Israelites' plight and flight out of Israel. And Jesus starts saying and pointing to the story being changed. And instead of the lamb being sacrificed in order that the death angel passes over, he ignores the lamb part and says that he will be serving as that lamb, that it will be him that is the sacrifice to cover the death of the world. And so when we take the Lord's Supper, we remember that Jesus changed the story. It's a remembrance of Jesus changing the story. It's a sacrament of what we're supposed to do. It's a command to remember who he is and what he did and how he changed the story for me and for you. That we had death in our life, and it was through him, through his life, through his death, burial, and resurrection that we now have life. And so that is how we talk to kids about coming to faith, baptism, and Lord's Supper. Thank you guys. If you ever have any questions about any of this, you can let me know. You can lead this in your family. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.